and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the second Sunday in Lent, the second of six Sundays. I guess I can't turn my head so much because the microphone isn't there. It is the second of six Sundays in Lent, and it's the first of four Sundays where we will have gospel readings from the book of John. I love the gospel of John. It's my second favorite gospel. I love that it's different from the other three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Not only does it contain a different perspective on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, it also contains some of our favorite stories that aren't contained in the other gospels. It has some different metaphors or word pictures, right? The word became flesh. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Those are word pictures that we know and love and come from the Gospel of John. I love that starting with the very first verse of the book of John, that we are reminded, that we are told that the coming of Christ, the Word becoming flesh, has cosmic significance. And this cosmic significance is reminded to us all throughout the gospel, and again today in the third chapter. And for as much as I love the Gospel of John, I really, really struggle with John 3:16. Not with the verse itself, but what people have done with it. Unfortunately, many Christians have taken these words, which are meant to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, and instead have formed them into a weapon that has hurt and harmed countless people. And although this misuse of John 3:16 is fairly new and has only been done in recent decades, its harm is far-reaching. Because what has happened is that some Christians have taken some scissors and they've cut John 3:16 out of John 3, and they only know those words and they don't know the context, and they don't really know what Jesus meant by those words. As a result of taking those scissors and separating John 3:16 from its context, we have as a result misused it and misinterpreted it and misunderstood it. Because these words cannot be broken away from the chapter and the gospel where they live. In John 3, we encounter Nicodemus, who went to Jesus in the darkness of night. Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a leader among the Jews, and he went to Jesus, needing to meet with him and talk to him in person. The words in verses 16 and 17 are Jesus' answer to Nicodemus' question, how can these things be? How can it be that we are born anew or born from above? How can it be that we are born from water and spirit? How can these things be? They're not unreasonable questions. And so Jesus, in answering his questions, says, "For God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." And Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." So what can we do to reinterpret these words so that we understand what Jesus meant, and so that we no longer misuse these words and bring about harm to others? Well, there are three things that I would like to offer. One, we cannot read or understand verse 16 without verse 17. They should never, ever be separated. One of the ways that this verse has been used by Christians to harm others is by using it like a velvet rope at a club, because too many have used it to judge who's in and who's out, like bouncers at a club. But in doing so, we miss the whole point of what Jesus is trying to say. God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. Jesus' mission in the world is saving the world, not judging it, not condemning it. His mission in the world is love. And by the way, who do we think we are as human beings that we can even judge or condemn someone else's relationship with God or their salvation? Two, I think we have really misunderstood what eternal life means. When Jesus talks about eternal life, we think it means the period of time after death. We live our human life, whatever length of time, and once we die, then we enter into eternal life. No. This is not anything close to what Jesus meant. And by the way, Jesus never ever intended for eternal life to be some kind of prize or reward that we get when we die. Eternal life is a gift of pure grace and mercy from God, and we can do nothing, nothing to earn it or deserve it. When we are baptized into Christ, when we are born again of water and spirit in baptism, that's when our eternal lives begin, while we are still living. We become children of God in the waters of baptism, and we are born anew from water and spirit. And then, in that moment, we receive the gift of eternal life, and it never ends. Beloved of God, we are living in eternal life right now. The gospel of Jesus Christ isn't about the future, some far-off day or place. The kingdom of God is in the present, and it is now. Three, God sent God's Son into the world to save it, because God so loves the world. The Greek word that we translate into English as world is cosmos. Sounds like cosmic, but it's cosmos. Cosmos means the entire created world, absolutely everything that God created. The sun and moon and stars and planets and galaxies and mountains and valleys and rivers and oceans, trees, grass, animals, plants. Every single thing that God has ever created and will ever create is contained in the cosmos. The whole universe, everything that God created, is the scope of God's salvation. But unfortunately, we have far too often narrowed salvation down to just a few humans. We know that God saves us, us as in humans. Certainly this is true. But that's not what this verse says. This verse says that God so loved the cosmos, God so loved everything that God created. God did not send God's Son into the cosmos to condemn the cosmos, but in order that the cosmos might be saved through him. All of creation is loved by God and has deep value for God because God created it, and God redeems all of it. Beloved, Jesus' death and resurrection affects the entire universe. He who was executed as a criminal among criminals, he who suffered injustice and humiliation and shame on the cross, has brought God's kingdom of justice and mercy, peace and love to the whole universe, and it's in the present. In conquering sin and death, Jesus saves the whole world. God's love is absolutely and completely limitless. It knows no bounds. We humans are the ones who try to limit God's love and put boundaries around it, but this is not who God is. The truth is that any limit or boundary we try to put around God's love doesn't exist to God, because there is no limit that humans can ever create that will limit God's love for any human being or anything else in all of creation. Brothers and sisters, as we continue to journey these 40 days to the great 3 days of Jesus' death and resurrection, may our understanding of God's love continue to grow and expand, because God is love, and God's love is limitless. God so loves the sun and the moon and the stars, the planets and the mountains and valleys, the galaxies, the rivers, the oceans, the trees, the grass, the animals, plants, and humankind, every single thing that God created, so that God gave God's only Son in order that every single thing God created might be saved through Jesus. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.